Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you, singing Alleluia, Alleluia.
Welcome to the Go and Teach Bible Study broadcast presented by the Monte Vista Church of Christ in Phoenix, Arizona. I'm Ken Leach, preacher at Monte Vista, and your host for the next 30 minutes or so. The great prophet Isaiah once said, "Come, let us reason together." That expresses well what I hope to achieve on these radio programs. Well, good day to you. No matter where you are, I pray that you're walking with the Lord. I think it's safe to say that most of the people that I know watch some television. Oh, I have acquaintances that have completely removed the television from their house and don't watch it at all, and I have others that I suspect at least are addicted to the television. But the overwhelming majority, I think I fit into that, have certain programs on the television that we watch from time to time, usually in the evening time, for entertainment. I'd like to ask you a question if you're one of that majority. Do you find that the networks are more and more pushing homosexuality down our throats? I can remember a few years ago when the networks tried to gain an acceptance of divorce, and they would slip that in every time they had a chance into family-oriented shows, and sooner or later, they changed, I believe, or at least a major force in changing the attitude of our country concerning divorce and remarriage. And now, it seems as though their objective is to change our attitude concerning those who have chosen to be homosexual. They call that gay. Well, it isn't gay. If you have an old dictionary, just look up the word gay and see how that responds to homosexuality. It's not anything near, but it makes it sound better. I'd like to study with you today some information that was given to us by God. It's an account of things that happened about 4,000 years ago, actually, and you can read about it in Genesis, the 19th chapter, beginning in verse 1. And the two angels came to Sodom at even. And Lot sat in the gate of Sodom, and Lot saw them, and rose up to meet them, and bowed himself with his face to the earth. And he said, "Behold now, my lords, turn aside, I pray you, into your servant's house, and tarry all night, and wash your feet, and you shall rise up early and go on your way." And they said, "Nay, but we will abide in the street all night." And he urged them greatly, and they turned unto him and entered into his house, and he made them a feast, and did bake unleavened bread that they did eat. But before they lay down, the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, compassed around the house, both young and old, and all the people from every quarter. And they called unto Lot, and said to him, "Where are the men that came unto thee this night? Bring out them unto us, that we may know them." And Lot went out unto them to the door, and shut the door after him. And he said, "I pray you, my brethren, do not so wickedly. Behold now, I have two daughters that have not known men. Let me, I pray you, bring them out unto you, and do ye to them what is good in your eyes. Only unto these men do nothing, for as much as they have come under the shadow of my roof." And they said, "Stand back." And they said, "This one fellow came in to sojourn, and he will needs be a judge? Now we will deal worse with thee than with them." And they pressed sore upon the man, even Lot, and drew near unto the break of the door. But the men put forth their hand and brought Lot into the house to them, and shut the door. And they smote the men that were at the door of the house with blindness, both small and great, so that they wearied themselves to find the door. Can you see a similarity with the situation then and the situation now in parts of our country? How their sinfulness was openly manifest without conscience. The arrogance of the worldly people in demanding that which God condemns. In those verses, I believe that we can identify three extremes. One, degradation on the part of the men of Sodom. That just is obvious. Second, holiness as represented in the angels. And third, resistance. Resistance in Lot as he sought to deter the evil of the men. To properly understand, I think, and to apply this lesson, we have to learn of the players in this historic reference. We have to learn about the characters and the principles. There was one man, and there were three groups. The man was Lot. Lot was a kinsman of Abraham who had parted toward Sodom. You read about that in the 13th chapter, verse 12 of Genesis. And what propelled him to do that was that he and Abraham both had great herds, and they needed more room. And if you'll remember, even though Abraham had the right to choose first, he let Lot choose first, and he chose to go toward that which physically looked better to service his needs. He went toward Sodom. Notice that Lot is not toward Sodom now. He's in the city, and there's a great lesson, I think, to be learned in that, don't you? Then there's the angels. They were sent to warn of destruction and recommended that Lot flee. And then there's the men of Sodom, men that today we call homosexuals or gay to some. These men paint a vivid picture of depravity. I think we should note that homosexuality wasn't their only sin. If you have your Bible, I invite you to turn with me to the book of Ezekiel. Ezekiel, the 16th chapter, and I'd like to read verses 49 and 50. Great prophet, Ezekiel, chapter 16, verses 49 and 50. Behold, this was the iniquity of my sister Sodom, pride, fullness of bread, and prosperous ease was in her and in her daughters. Neither did she strengthen the hand of the poor and the needy, and they were haughty and committed abomination before me. Therefore, I took them away as I saw good. Well, did you see then the terrible character of that place called Sodom? Certainly homosexuality was included, but it wasn't the only thing that they were doing as a part of their lifestyle that was displeasing to God. Men whose acts have been identified by the name of their city, Sodom, are the main characters in this plot. They're trying to do those things that are unspeakable to the house guests of Lot. Do those things that our society now are trying to make legitimate in their same-sex marriages and such foolishness, such debauchery in the sight of God. Then there's Lot's daughters. They're pictured in the text that we read in Genesis 19 as virtuous. But later we see in verses 12 through 38 that they were also decadent. Now with that cast and it being introduced to us, let's examine the text. In verses 1 through 3, we see Lot at the city gates. to see that kind of a man. To see Lot was to note the words of Peter. 2 Peter 2, verse 7 and 8, where we read, "And if he rescued righteous Lot, oppressed by the sensual conduct of unprincipled men, for by what he saw and heard, that righteous man, while living among them, felt his righteous soul tormented day after day with their lawless deeds." There God, through the Holy Spirit, gives to Peter an explanation that Peter writes in inspired fashion, writes in that book that we call the Bible, a little insight with regard to how Lot felt. And even though he found himself at his own doing in a place that was just a terrible place, he was oppressed day by day. He felt bad day by day of the things that were going on around him. I wonder if it could have been that Lot stationed himself at the gate to warn strangers of the dangers that were ahead of them if they came into the town Sodom. This may have been his way to offer hospitality, which is certainly a trait of righteousness, isn't it? But I tell you this much we know. First, he met the angels with a respectful manner, and he showed godly hospitality. That instance brings to mind Hebrews 13 and verse 2, where we read, "Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for by this some have entertained angels without knowing it." We can learn from Lot about hospitality. We can learn from Lot about God's way to respect others. Well, in verses 4 and 5, the evil designs of the Sodomites are highlighted. Like wild dogs, they traveled in a pack seeking pleasure. A trait of perversion is to seek some new thrill. And hence they were looking for new partners to display their lust. Men of homosexuality are a threat. They don't keep to themselves. To think that they do is to put your head in the sand and not understand this terrible, sinful way of life. In Isaiah 3 and verse 9, we read, "They do not hide it." In Philippians 3 and verse 19, we read, "They glory in their shame." Another point in verses 4 and 5 is that the Sodomite society was so perverted that even the older people were involved. You'd think as one grow older that one would put aside those lusts of the youth and would become more serious about eternity, but that doesn't seem to be the case here in Sodom. Isn't it sad to contrast the older men there with what they could have been? Solomon wrote in Proverbs 16 and verse 31, "The hoary head is a crown of glory if it be found in the way of righteousness." Indeed, there is God's glory in aged righteousness, but the opposite is also true. Now in verses 6, 7, and 8, we see the Lord's effort to deter the Sodomites, that effort coming through Lot. Can you imagine the shock of a man of God when he would hear such a proposal as those men from Sodom made? I want to note three specifics in verses 6, 7, and 8. First, Lot's guarding of his guest. The duty of the host was to protect. I want you to note that Lot exposed himself to danger. When he closed the door behind himself, he set a barrier between him and anyone that could protect him. So Lot was willing to stand by himself against a whole city of men to do what was right. Second, Lot is bold in condemning their plans. He calls them wicked. I think you and I must become so accustomed to seeing sin that sometimes we don't condemn it. How often do we let things just slide by rather than standing boldly for what God teaches? It's a shameful thing when we do that. Third, Lot makes a sinful proposal. The end, according to Romans 3 and verse 8, never justifies the means. But sin is never countered by sin. No matter the frustration, we cannot join as Christians in sin. Now in verse 9, we see the Sodomites' response to Lot. Note, if you would, the similarity of today's responses when we stand strong and rebuke sin. They threaten Lot. They call him an outsider. That's putting into play the rejection tactic. They're saying, Lot, you really don't belong here. What are you doing here? But the main accusation, they call him a judge. That happens to faithful Christians every day, doesn't it? When we stand for truth, whether it's standing against abortion, standing against the consumption of alcohol, standing against gambling, standing against homosexuality, there's always somebody that says, who are you to judge? Well, it's a Christian duty to judge. I can prove that this way. John 7 and verse 24. Jesus said, do not judge according to appearance, but judge with righteous judgment. In that verse, did Jesus say that we should judge? Certainly he did. The Corinthians were rebuked for not judging in 1 Corinthians 6, verse 2 beginning and reading through verse 5. We must not be deterred, brethren, from exposing sin by those who call us names. We should stand strong. Finally, in verse 10 and 11 of our text, we see the angel's actions. It's evident now that the men of Sodom intend to take the angels by force, knocking down the door. The angels saved Lot, didn't they? They pulled him inside. And then they struck the Sodomites blind. And thus we see divine punishment. From those verses about events that occurred 4,000 years ago, what can we learn? Is it just history? Or are there benefits to going to those statements of fact and applying them to today? Well, the Bible answers that. In Romans the 15th chapter and verse 4, and in 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 11, we're told of the great benefit to look at those events of old and apply them to our lives today to make us what God would have us to be. The critical factor in all Bible study is application. Even more directly, the critical factor is application to me. I must make personal application. It's easy to read the Bible and say, oh, I know people that do that. I know people that need to correct that. I'm glad, like the Pharisees said, that I'm not like those people doing this or that. But we will never gain anything from Bible study until we make application to ourselves. Well, here's what we can learn from our lesson today. First, there's danger in moving in the direction of sin. Lot, according to Genesis 13:12, pitched his tent toward Sodom. But as we see in our text, he found himself in the very middle of the city. Paul wrote to the Thessalonians in 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 22, abstain from all appearance of evil. There are situations in our life today where we need to step back and take a look. We need to ask ourselves the question, is the promotion, is the new job really worth it? Is the climate really worth it? Am I moving toward sin? Or am I avoiding the very appearance of evil? Now, I understand that the Apostle Paul says that we can't take ourselves out of the world, and I'm not suggesting that we do. We must go into all the world and teach the gospel. We must let a bright light shine for Jesus Christ. But we also need to learn from Lot concerning where we live and where we raise our family. Well, a second lesson that we can learn is that we can be faithful even when evil is around. We're not promised to be in the majority. In fact, the Bible says we'll be in the minority. In 1 Peter 4 and verse 4, they are surprised that you do not run with them to the same excess of dissipation, and they malign you. We are a called out people that are called out by Jesus Christ and obedient to Jesus Christ make up that which we call the church, the called out, the ecclesia. Well, a third lesson is that the nature of sin gets worse and worse as it runs its course. As we apply ourselves to godliness, we become more spiritual. And the opposite of that is equally true. In 2 Timothy, the 3rd chapter, in verse 13, the Bible reads, "But evil men and imposters will proceed from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived." We see in our study of the men of Sodom the same characteristic as with the Gentiles in Romans, the 1st chapter. Sin grows. A fourth lesson that we can learn from our text is that God's children are not silent in the face of evil. There are no closet Christians. Lot was troubled day by day. He wasn't deterred by peer pressure, the threat of rejection. He wasn't deterred by physical harm. He wasn't deterred by name calling, that is, judging. You and I must fight the good fight of faith. I read from time to time on the subject of hate crimes. And in that subject, sometimes I hear people warning that those who speak out against homosexuality will put themselves in jeopardy, will put themselves even in jeopardy of being incarcerated for fueling that which the government has deemed hate crimes. My friend, you and I need to stand with the Bible. And when that standing with the Bible produces inconvenience, even a terrible inconvenience and hardship, we need to rejoice for the opportunity to suffer for the cause of Christ. A fifth lesson that we learn from our text is that sin is not the answer to sin. We can't go along so that we don't close doors of communication. Jesus said in John 8 and verse 29, "And he who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone, for I always do the things that are pleasing to him." Well, who was it that sent Jesus? It was God, wasn't it? He's always with us. And we must do the things that are pleasing to him. Going along with sinful activity, you think that pleases God? In 1 Peter 2 and verse 21, the Bible says, "For this purpose you have been called, since Christ also suffered for you, leaving an example for you to follow in his steps." Would we be following in the steps of Jesus if we went along with sin? Finally, we learn that God punishes the wicked. In Ecclesiastes, the 12th chapter and verse 14, the Bible says, "For God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether it's good or whether it's evil." In 2 Peter 2 and verse 9, the Bible says, "The Lord knows how to rescue the godly from temptation, to keep the unrighteous under punishment for the day of judgment." No matter how safe, no matter how politically protected, no matter how universally accepted the unfaithful and the homosexual become in our society, on judgment, they will lose their soul. Jesus will say to them, "Depart from me, you who work iniquity, I never knew you." I find no pleasure in the fact that there will be so many whose souls are lost in the final time. But I do respect the Word of God, and I believe that every word that He's given us in His unique revelation is for our benefit, for our learning, and for our protection. I believe that you can prove that within the pages of inspiration. You can prove that the Bible is inspired both inside and outside the Bible. A subject perhaps for a later time. I hope that you will come and visit us at the Church of Christ that meets at 2202 North 40th Street in Phoenix, Arizona. Bring your Bible. We are a Bible-driven, a Bible-based group of people. We have authority for those things that we believe and those things that we do, and we stand ready to change any of our beliefs and actions if we are presented from the Bible information that shows us to be wrong. Come, question the things that you see done, the things that you hear taught. Be a bright light for Jesus Christ. Prepare for the day of judgment. Thank you for listening.
Thank you for joining me today. If you enjoy Bible-centered study, why not come visit the Monte Vista Church of Christ? We're located on the west side of 40th Street between McDowell and Thomas Roads. 2202 North 40th Street is our address. We have Bible classes for all ages each Sunday morning at 9:30 and each Wednesday evening at 7. Everyone interested in God's revelation to man is welcome. We also assemble for worship following our Sunday morning Bible classes, and then again on Sunday evenings at 6 o'clock. Until next time, this is Ken Leach, hoping you have unlimited opportunity to let your light shine for Jesus Christ. Amen.